Brothers and sisters, good afternoon. You know, Pastor Shane, I like this church service starting a little later because the speaker doesn't have to worry about that ominous 12 o'clock. We can go all afternoon. Don't worry, we'll end more or less on time. I want to thank Pioneer Memorial Church for its amazing reception, for the welcome that so many have given. And in fact, we do have, as Pastor Shane indicated, a group of international representatives who are attending the Adventist Mission Conference and Symposium. Those of you who have come from all parts of the world to attend that, and those from this country as well, those who have been attending this particular meeting, I'd like you to stand right now so the group can see who you are. Please stand. Thank you. Thank you so much. These are your leaders from around the world. The program will continue at the seminary chapel this afternoon and into the early evening. I want to thank Pastor Shane for his warm welcome and for Brian and Rebecca for appointing me as one of your associates in this church. It's a privilege to be here. In fact, I exercised that right of being a part of the team and voted a few things, even though I'm not a member of PMC. What a privilege to be part of God's worldwide church. Thank you to the Andrews University Singers. You are maintaining the strong standard that Andrews University has had for many years. Nancy and I have some CDs. I don't know, do they even make those anymore? But we have CDs of Andrews University, two of them. Beautiful. I want to tell you, you are lifting the standard and raising it to where God wants it to be. Thank you to your singing, to Charles Reed. That was amazing. And we just praise God for all that is done to God's glory. Thank you also, Max Keller, for playing this morning the trumpet. What a privilege to be able to bring glory to God. I noticed in the church here, on both sides, reminders of mission. Why we are here. Why PMC even exists. And for those of you watching by live streaming, we welcome you. This is the heart of mission, and we are having a wonderful opportunity to focus on mission this weekend. On my right, on your left, is a nicely done montage of everyone is called. Everyone is part of mission. On my left, your right, founded in faith, forward in mission for the finishing of the work. You see, mission is the core of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Our mission is driven by our message. What a privilege to be part of this Adventist Mission Conference and Symposium commemorating the 150 years since the first Seventh-day Adventist official missionary left for Switzerland. In fact, yesterday it was my privilege to make a couple videos. We make many, many videos for our people around the world, trying to encourage them. We made a couple videos out in front of this church, in front of the statue of John Nevins Andrews and his two children, Charles and Mary. You are fortunate to have that statue here and to have Andrews University named after this amazing first official missionary. In fact, many of us here are graduates of Andrews University and proud to be graduates. Let me just mention that I'm extremely grateful for how this church at PMC fits so beautifully into the mission plans of Andrews University. Thank you to Pastor and Mrs. Shane for your involvement. And thank you, Pastor and Mrs. Nelson, for your many years of service here at PMC. It's just such a privilege to know both of these pastors. And as this pastoral team works closely with Dr. John Wesley Taylor and his team at Andrews University, we have great hopes for this particular place to continue to be a very strong center of mission. You see, the amazing thing about John Nevins Andrews is that he was not only the first missionary, he was one of our brightest academicians, if you could put it that way, or scholars. In fact, it was indicated that we have sent our brightest to Switzerland. I have the privilege of not only graduating from this university, right here on this platform, as many of you, but also of graduating from 8th grade at John Nevins Andrews Elementary School in Tacoma Park. And that has always been a very motivating factor in my life, to realize that I am representing Christ and that I come from that heritage. In fact, our esteemed organist, Ken Logan, is also a graduate of John Nevins Andrews Elementary School. He has had two sisters, Mary Kay, his oldest, Carol, between Mary Kay and Kenneth. And Kenneth is a little younger, but what a privilege to both be graduates of that elementary school. And his oldest sister, Mary Kay, was a very dear friend. In fact, she and I were born on the very same day. Unfortunately, she passed away about 14 years ago. But we will see her soon. Our mission is to see Jesus come soon. So what a privilege to, in fact, I might mention, that's the first time I met Dwight. Was at John Nevins Andrews School. He and his parents, I think, were on furlough from Japan, had about 6-8 months, and he came to JNA, and that's as we refer to the school, JNA, long-time friendship since those days. But you know what? All of us are part of an amazing worldwide family. It was a privilege for Nancy and for me to attend on July 5 and 6, just a few months ago, the Inter-European Division's special emphasis on John Nevins Andrews arriving in Switzerland, sponsored this particular event by the Swiss Union and the French-Swiss Conference. They arrived in Switzerland 150 years ago, almost to the day, in 1874. Seventh-day Adventist mission has progressed from those humble beginnings 150 years ago to a worldwide church family of over 23 million Seventh-day Adventists in approximately 210 countries of the world, with a very strong global total member involvement emphasis. And the foundation of this Advent movement and mission is Jesus Christ himself. He's commanded us to go into all the world to preach the gospel. This last day proclamation, lifting up Christ, his word, his saving power, his righteousness, his three angels' messages, the great controversy motif, his health message, his last day mission to the world, of sharing the good news of salvation, including the need to plead for the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, I urge you to pray for the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. We need this work finished, and it will only be done as we place ourselves completely at the disposal of the Holy Spirit so that Jesus can return. God's command to the Seventh-day Adventist Church to proclaim the last message is intensifying in its mission outreach to the world. Everyone is to be involved in the strategic plans of I Will Go, a beautiful motto that was nurtured and helped by our young people in Universidad Adventista del Plata in Argentina. They helped to come up with the theme, I Will Go. We asked if we could use it on our worldwide strategic plan. Yes, you can go ahead and use it, but I think they wanted us to remind people that young people helped to come up with that theme. Praise God for our young people, and praise God for what PMC is doing to help young students here at Andrews University. Thank you for that very special emphasis. You know, as we look around the world, we see that it is disintegrating and falling apart. That's why the legacy of the Adventist mission emphasis, started 150 years ago, is so important. Each of us, as individuals, as local churches, institutions, organizations, entities, we are all called to be landmarks that tell the world that Adventist mission is alive and progressing towards the final loud cry. Adventist mission is all about God's power and His miraculous intervention in the life of His remnant people and in every single life. Mission is not just a conference. Mission is not just a group of people attempting to accomplish what God has instructed. Mission is a personal lifestyle. All of us are to be involved in that. Total member involvement. Everyone doing something for Jesus. I'm reminded of a large sign in the airport of Abidjan in Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, in West Africa. The sign isn't there any longer, but it used to be when Nancy and I lived there and served for about 9 years. It was a quotation from the president of the country, Dr. Félix Houphouët-Boigny, a very skilled physician who was for about 30 years the president of Côte d'Ivoire. He had a very strong emphasis on peace and on harmony, on people working together. And when you would exit the airport in Abidjan, you would see this big sign, and it said, peace. Well, I'll say it in French. La paix, ce n'est pas un mot, c'est un comportement. Peace, it is not a word, it is a way of life. Now, with apologies to President Houphouët-Boigny, who is now deceased, let me just change it a little bit. Evangelism, mission, is not a word, it is a way of life. All of us can be a part of this mission, and God calls us to do that. Let's look at a fascinating biblical story about landmarks and the advance of mission. The children of Israel had just crossed the Jordan River after having wandered in the Sinai desert for about 40 years. It had been a miraculous process of crossing. Joshua 3 and verses 14 to 16 record When the people set out from the camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away. You see, it was springtime. The water was very high. Patriarchs and Prophets, and if you're not acquainted with that book or haven't read it recently, I urge you to do so. It is one of the most fantastic books written by Ellen White. In Patriarchs and Prophets, and page 483, it indicates, the host descended, the children of Israel, to the border of the Jordan. All knew, however, that without divine aid, they could not hope to make the passage. At this time of the year, in the spring season, melting snows of the mountains had so raised the Jordan that the river overflowed its banks, making it impossible to cross at the usual fording places. God willed that the passage of Israel over the Jordan should be miraculous. God puts us to the test at times. He wants us to rely upon Him, not ourselves. Today here at Andrews University, we give God the glory for what He has, is, and will do in the finishing of God's great Advent movement. You know, sometimes we're just a little quick to forget God, and we attribute glory to ourselves. That's why God wants us to remember His interventions in our own personal lives and in the life of the church. And in a figurative sense, we set up landmark memorials in the form of physical and spiritual events. Now in Joshua 3:17, it tells us that the priests who carried the ark into the middle of the river stayed in the middle of the river until all the people had crossed through the river. Before the priests left the middle part of the river, Joshua called for a representative from each of the 12 tribes to take a large rock from the riverbed to represent their tribe, setting up a memorial on the other side of the Jordan. So as our scripture was read by Dr. Muscala in Joshua 4:6-7, it says that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Now, there's always been a need to remember. In fact, this church is named Pioneer Memorial Church. You ever stop to think who those pioneers were? Why this church was named with such a profound name? Now, the easiest way to establish something that will constantly remind you is to put up some kind of a marker. And the purpose of the stone landmarks for the Israel's crossing was so they would remember what God did for His people. And that's exactly what we're doing here this weekend as we commemorate 150 years, not only of the first missionary leaving these shores, but 150 years of the establishment of Andrews University. Battle Creek College, Emmanuel Missionary College. My mother attended here, right in this very place, this area. And then Andrews University. God has a purpose for these landmarks. A very familiar quote from Life Sketches, page 196, you know it well. In reviewing our past history, Having traveled over every step of advance to our present standing, I can say, praise God. As I see what the Lord has wrought, I am filled with astonishment and with confidence in Christ as leader. Brothers and sisters, let's never forget who is leading this movement. It's not administrators. It's not pastors and teachers. Yes, we all participate. It is Jesus Christ himself. He is the leader of the Advent movement. And it says there, we have nothing, this is very familiar now, we have nothing to fear for the future except that we forget the way the Lord has led us, and don't forget the next phrase, and his teaching in our past history. God doesn't only wish that we remember the 150th anniversary. He wants us to continue in his last day mission of proclaiming the three angels' messages. And that's the real reason for the 150th anniversary of Andrews University and of mission. Now, as much as we enjoy reviewing history, and I'm sure there are many history buffs in this congregation here today, God intends for us to look forward to what he will do for his remnant church all over the world in local churches and communities as we anticipate Christ's soon return. So what kind of a report are you going to bring back, attendees at the Adventist Mission Conference? What kind of a report will you take home? What kind of report will you take from PMC today as we reflect on these anniversaries of Andrews University and Adventist Mission? Well, as we do that, let's review an amazing story in Scripture. It will help us to understand that mission refocus, that I will go, that global TMI, total member involvement, is really a part of God's legacy for mission. You see, since we're spiritual Israel on our journey to heaven, let's look at what happened to the children of Israel and their journeys toward the promised land. 40 years before that eventful crossing of the Jordan and the setting up of those landmark stones, Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan. He wanted to know what kind of report they would bring back. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13 in your hard copy Bible or in your iPhone or whatever you have, and it'll also be on the screen, that's fine. Verses 17 through 20. Moses sent them into the land of Canaan to see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether the land is good or bad, whether the land is rich or poor. In other words, figure out where we're going. In the last part of verse 20, Moses urges them, be of good courage. I think that's a wonderful motto for us as we launch into the 151st year of mission. And I hope we're not going to be celebrating more anniversaries in the future. We want to see Jesus come. And so it says that bring some of the fruit of the land. So the 12 went out to spy out the land, bring back a report after 40 days. Verse 23 says that they cut a branch of grapes so big that it took two people to carry this branch of grapes. They also got pomegranates and figs. Those of you who have lived in the Middle East, I had the great privilege of growing up in Cairo, Egypt. It's something I wouldn't trade for anything. The Middle East is still a wonderful part of my life, and I have to tell you, our hearts are sick about what is happening in the Middle East. Pray for peace in the Middle East. We know that the entire world will be caught up in great conflagration at the end of time, but we have church members in Israel, in Lebanon, in many countries throughout the Middle East. Not many, but they're there. Pray for them, and pray for our dear brothers and sisters in Ukraine. and in Russia. These places are heavy on our hearts. But it says that they went in and began to spy out the land, and they brought a branch of grapes so heavy that it was only two that could carry this. In fact, even today, if you look at the Ministry of Tourism for the State of Israel, you will find that the symbol, the logo of the Ministry of Tourism is a picture of two men carrying a huge branch of grapes. The spies brought back reports from their visit. And in verse 27, they started out in a good way. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. It was a good report. We've just finished annual council. We had many good reports, and I praise God for that. Had a wonderful spirit at annual council. Our world leaders were together. But sometimes when you're at a meeting, and I'm not saying that was the case at annual council, but sometimes you will hear good reports, and then they come with that unhappy word, but. Let me tell you the rest of the story. Nevertheless, however. Well, verse 28, those 10 spies reported. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. They brought back a bad report. Now, what kind of report are you taking from Pioneer Memorial today, from our Adventist Mission Conference? Well, Caleb stepped in, quieted the people. Verse 30, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. The other 10 spies countered in verse 31 with another bad report. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They falsely reported that the land devours its inhabitants, which was a lie, since they had just said that it flowed with milk and honey. They reported seeing men of great stature. And in verse 33, they gave one of the most miserable reports recorded in the Bible. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, they had, and I don't want us to have, the grasshopper complex. Don't ever have that complex about your church or your mission or your outreach. Especially in these end times, lean on the Lord and think big. God can get you out of any situation. Now, my fellow attendees at the mission conference, we're not grasshoppers. We are Seventh-day Adventists. And at this 150th anniversary, this landmark that we are establishing today, let's determine by God's grace to never take on the grasshopper complex. Oh, it can't be done here. It's too hard. This place is too secular. People are too against us. Never accept the grasshopper complex. Let's bring back a good report. We are God's remnant people with a distinctive message, a distinctive mission, and a distinctive name that would identify us as those who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. That was our theme for the annual council just passed. Called to be faithful, commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 12:17 is reflecting that. Also, Revelation 14 and verse 12 reflects the same understanding. The selection of the name Seventh-day Adventist came after the pillars of our faith had been established through intense Bible study and consecrated prayer. Little did the early pioneers, for whom this church is named, little did they imagine that this Adventist mission movement would grow to encompass the entire world, evidenced by leaders who are here today from so many parts of this globe. We should remember that in those early days of the church, when Bible study was the central feature of the movement, and I praise God That's what you're receiving here and have received at Pioneer Memorial Church and elsewhere around the world. Preachers, those who speak, don't just talk about philosophical things, interesting anecdotes. Preach the Word of God, and the Lord will bless enormously. You have to remember that in those early pioneer days, Seventh-day Adventist Church was primarily led by young people. What an opportunity here at Andrews University to nourish our young people, to have them become involved in every aspect of mission work and outreach. Older ones, get to know them. Thank you for the adoption of students here at Andrews University by PMC members. What an opportunity to help young people know they are part of God's last day message. The three angels' messages with Christ and his righteousness at the very core. The legacy of Adventist mission. And as we bring back a good report, we will understand that the Seventh-day Adventist Church was developed, again, out of intense Bible study, understanding that the Bible is our foundation and our only rule of faith. As the early believers studied the Word of God, prayed earnestly about the truth, they were led by the Holy Spirit. They discovered the biblical beliefs and pillars of our faith that we hold so dear today. Those dedicated pioneers, in simple faith, took the Bible as it reads. Let's remain faithful to a determined belief in the clear teaching of God's Word. Do not allow anyone to influence you when they take the Word of God and reinterpret it so it actually says what it doesn't say, and what it doesn't say is what they say it says. My brothers and sisters, read the Word as it reads. As attendees at this 150th commemoration, let's uphold the 28 fundamental beliefs that are rooted extensively and exclusively in Scripture, with Christ at the core of every fundamental belief. Let's bring back a good report. Paul declared in 2 Timothy 3:15 that the Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation, and it is absolutely true today. Be faithful to God's Word and to the Spirit of prophecy, which has been poured out on this end time movement. Not to replace Scripture, never. This is our foundation. But the Spirit of prophecy to amplify its meaning and help us to apply God's Word in our lives. The Spirit of prophecy is one of the greatest gifts God has given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Let us utilize it to further God's mission. So don't be a mission grasshopper. When somebody asks what church you belong to, look them straight in the eye and say, "I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and let me tell you about it." Be proud that Christ is the center of all that we do, and that we can lift him up. Never be ashamed of your name. Never be ashamed of the mission God has given us. Ellen White said in Selected Messages, Book 2, page 384, "We are Seventh-day Adventists. Are we ashamed of our name? We answer, no, no, we are not. It is the name the Lord has given us. It points out the truth that is to be the test of the churches." That is a profound statement. Let that sink in for a moment. As the 21st century is here, Seventh-day Adventists and all of us are living at the very close of Earth's history. Let's not be mission grasshoppers and hide our name or our mission. The seventh day refers in so many ways to that amazing power God had in creating this earth in six literal, consecutive, contiguous days, and capping it with the memorial of that creation, the seventh-day Sabbath, the very day on which we are worshiping today. Time has never been lost. This is the seventh-day Sabbath. We're in a direct line of creation by God and not the result of evolutionary process. Saying that you are a Seventh-day Adventist identifies you as a believer in what is so plain in Scripture, including the first angel's message of Revelation 14, 6-7. God has commanded us in Exodus 20, verse 8, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Selected Messages, Book 2, page 385, warns about de-emphasizing our distinctive beliefs as we go forward in our mission. I was told that men would employ every policy to make less prominent the difference between the faith of Seventh-day Adventists and those who observe the first day of the week. In this controversy, the whole world will be engaged, and the time is short. This is no time to haul down our colors. Bring back a good report. As Seventh-day Adventists living on the very brink of eternity, we are not to minimize our seventh-day distinctiveness, but to give the trumpet a certain sound. We are told, again in Selected Messages, Book 2, page 370, and as you can tell, I make no excuses for using the spirit of prophecy. It is a wonderful, embellishing understanding of how we are to approach our mission. It says, the Lord has permitted the enemy of truth to make a determined effort against the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. He designs by this means to awaken a decided interest in that question, which is a test for the last days. This will open the way for the third angel's message to be proclaimed with power. The third angel of Revelation 14 shows us that the Sabbath will be God's special seal or sign of his people in the last days. And anyone worshiping on the false day of worship, Sunday, when the national Sunday law will be enacted, will receive the mark of the beast. Let us make no mistake. The mark of the beast has not been assigned to anyone yet, but the decision will be made when you choose between God or Satan. God's word, his seal, or the mark of the beast. Now, this is how important the Sabbath is to God and how important it should be for us. It's not safe for us to rely upon our own understanding. We are to rely completely upon the Bible and its interpretation in advancing Adventist mission. Therefore, we should not align ourselves with any religious organizations or ecumenical bodies. Of course, we should show ourselves friendly and treat all with respect, and there's no problem in our public affairs and religious liberty ambassadors from the Seventh-day Adventist Church helping people to know who Seventh-day Adventists are, but we should never be part of ecumenical activity that will restrict our religious freedom. In Selected Messages, Book 2, page 371, it says, there is to be no compromise with those who make void the law of God. Testimony is not to be less decided now than formerly. Our real position is not to be cloaked in order to please the world's great men. While we should not seek for controversy and should not needlessly offend, we must present the truth clearly and decidedly and stand firm to what God has taught us in his word. The wonderful Bible text in 2 Chronicles 20:20 tells us, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Now, in the same way that the word seventh day remind us of where we came from, the word Adventist tells us where we are going, waiting for the imminent return of Jesus Christ, the literal return of Christ, the audible, visible, literal return is the great objective of every Seventh-day Adventist, just as it was for our pioneers, for whom this church was named, and for John Nevins Andrews and his family 150 years ago. It is that blessed hope to which we cling. Let this and every Seventh-day Adventist pulpit ring with the loud and exciting proclamation and mission that Jesus is coming soon. Preach often about the second coming. Tell the public that we are people who await the literal return of the King of Kings, who will soon take us home. Tell them that every eye will see this incredible return of Jesus. He will not set foot on this earth. And beware, I'm going to get into an evangelistic mode here, having just preached in San Francisco. I want to tell you, when you preach the Adventist message, it warms your heart even more than those in the congregation. Be involved in this proclamation that Jesus will not set foot on this earth. As Scripture tells us, we can unashamedly proclaim the words of Paul found in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Ken will see Mary Kay when Jesus comes. What a privilege to be able to understand the dead in Christ will rise first. They will ascend into heaven first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Our powerful heaven-born message is a proclamation of hope. It is a good report. It points to God as the author and finisher of our faith. It lifts up Christ and his righteousness in all his beauty and proclaims the great controversy theme from the beginning to the end. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, don't let anyone discourage you from believing in the full understanding of the great controversy message and motif. That wonderful book which we have assigned for 2023, 2024, 2025 as the missionary book of the year. Millions of copies are being spread around this world, hard copy and electronic, The Great Controversy. I believe every word in The Great Controversy, and I hope you do too. The 10 spies brought back a bad report. What kind of report are you bringing? After the bad report of those 10 spies, Numbers 14 and verse 1 records that the people cried and wept that night. They complained against Moses and Aaron. Leaders, don't be afraid of people who complain against you. If you have your eyes focused upon him, on his word and the spirit of prophecy, led by the Holy Spirit, don't worry about what people say. Keep pushing ahead with Adventist mission. You see, it says in verse 2 of Numbers 14, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Now, I love Egypt. It's where I grew up. But that's not where God wanted his people. He wanted them in the promised land. The people rebelled against God and said in verse 4 that they wanted to select another leader and return to Egypt. What kind of report are you bringing back? A retreating report? Away from the distinctive Seventh-day Adventist message and its mission? Or will you rally under God's guidance and ask him to lead you towards the promised land with even greater accomplishments in Adventist mission globally, leading to Christ's return? A few years ago, it was a privilege for Nancy and for me to stand on Mount Nebo in Jordan. We looked out to the west at the Dead Sea, at the city of Jericho, and at the Jordan River that separated Moses and the children of Israel from the promised land. It was thrilling to imagine that great throng of people ready to pass over on the other side, to the other side of the Jordan River into Canaan at the end of 40 years of wandering simply because the 10 spies brought back a bad report. 1 year for every day they had spent wandering in Canaan. 40 days, 40 years. Moses wasn't allowed to enter the promised land, but was given a vision on Mount Nebo before his death of what would transpire in the future. He saw the ups and downs of the children of Israel after they took possession of Canaan. He saw the rejection of Christ by the Jewish nation. And patriarchs and prophets says Moses wept. He knew the value of bringing back a good report. Moses died on Mount Nebo, and he was buried in an unknown valley by Christ and the angels. And then the Lord resurrected him as a wonderful symbol of those who would die in Christ and be resurrected to cross over into the heavenly promised land at the time of Christ's soon coming. God wants us to bring back a good report and pass over the Jordan into the promised land. Jesus is coming soon. Thank you to all of you here in this beautiful sanctuary. And I must say, it's been beautifully reappointed. It represents God well. But don't think your mission is ended after sitting in these beautiful pews, after enjoying a wonderful service. Your mission has just begun. The outreach during this 150th anniversary year is crucial for all of us. As with many of you, Nancy and I participated in evangelistic mission outreach this year in Papua New Guinea. Students from the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary participated in PNG as well. It was an extraordinary experience. We also participated, Nancy and I did, in a wonderful evangelistic meeting in South Sudan, in Juba. Also, just recently, as I referenced, in perhaps one of the more difficult places on the face of the planet, San Francisco. I want to tell you, we had a wonderful experience there, a very supportive local church. People were brought to the truth. Never, ever feel like you're a grasshopper. Move ahead in the power of God. After the bad report of the 10 spies and the rebellion of the children of Israel, Numbers 14:5 tells us that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation. It was then that Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes and spoke to the congregation, bringing a good report, saying in verses 7 through 9, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord." Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, those words are true for us today. Don't rebel against the Lord. "Nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Caleb and Joshua brought back this great report. But in verse 10, it says the people wanted to stone them. In your pursuit of God's final plans for Adventist mission, don't hesitate to give a good, clear report, even if people mock or criticize you. Give a strong report of warning and hope in a loving way to point people back to the true worship of God as we present and lift up Christ, his righteousness, and his three angels' messages of Revelation 14. But before the Israelites could stone Caleb and Joshua, God intervened, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. The stones dropped from their hands. God will protect each of us as we move ahead in global Adventist mission, bringing back a good report of this unique prophetic message proclaimed by a prophetic people on a prophetic mission. That means you and me, right here in Berrien Springs today, and all over this globe, pleading with the Lord for revival and reformation and leading to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let's bring back a good report. Well, because of unbelief and rebellion, the children of Israel had to wander those 40 years in the desert. Only Caleb and Joshua were allowed to enter the promised land 40 years later. and participate in setting up the 12 stones as a landmark memorial of what God had done in finally bringing them across the Jordan River. God is counting on each one of us here today, wherever you are, watching on live stream or right here in Berrien Springs. He's counting on us to bring back a good report. The proclamation of the three angels' messages is to go like wildfire through every part of this world through the power of the Holy Spirit. The promised land awaits us. Today, we set up, figuratively, by this special Adventist mission conference and symposium, the 12 stones as a landmark memorial to God for his blessings on the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Advent movement, and its global mission. Today, let's answer the question about what do these stones mean by bringing back a good report of complete involvement in mission. Let's pray that God will open the way to celebrate future anniversaries, not in PMC or on the campus of Andrews University, but in heaven. If today you, as part of this Adventist Mission Conference, you, as members of Pioneer Memorial Church, those of you who are visiting, if you want to be ready for Jesus' soon second coming through his grace and his power, we are saved only through the grace of Jesus Christ. If you want to pledge yourself to be part of those waiting and working in mission for Christ's soon coming, and say to the Lord, "Lord, I want to bring back a good report." If that is your wish, would you join me in standing in commitment right now? Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, you see this wonderful congregation at Pioneer Memorial Church, named after the pioneers who helped through your power to start this Advent movement that has now encompassed the globe, but we have many, many more to reach. As that young man proclaimed in his prayer this morning, in that marvelous response to the children's story, in fact, Lord, we could have had that young man come up and preach instead of my sermon. We would have understood clearly from a child what it means to believe completely in your power. But as was proclaimed in that prayer, Lord, help us to proclaim this message to the world so that Jesus can come. Now, Lord, accept into your hands your people who are committed to the Adventist mission around the globe, proclaiming Christ and his righteousness, his precious sanctuary message, his three angels' messages, his health message, and his soon coming. We now commit ourselves into your hands. Take us and use us in Adventist mission. We want to see Jesus come. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.